This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM
89.9. Will we lose our jobs? A quick search online will bring dozens of headlines to suggest that won't happen, and you can breathe a sigh of relief. But can you? Getting the current talent pool ready for the present future is a challenging task, and ensuring the youth of tomorrow are prepared with the skill sets and tools for their future careers is another task. A task that many educators in the sectors are trying to deliver their best. And one of them is Swinburne University of Technology, and here with me today to discuss the changes in the digital work and the skills required to thrive in the future of work is Dr. Sean Gallagher, the director of Swinburne Centre for the New Workforce. Let's start perhaps with a little bit about yourself, the centre, and some current projects.
Well, thanks, Jeff. My name is Sean Gallagher. I'm the director of the Centre for the New Workforce at Swinburne University. And it's a centre that's focused on one of the key challenges facing society today, and that is how are digital technologies impacting and transforming on work. And rather than being experts on technology, there's certainly a lot of others out there, we take the perspective of looking at people and how do we make sure that people are empowered to not only survive, but succeed and thrive in these new forms of work that are emerging. And in terms of what the center is particularly focused on, it's really about learning. And unlike learning for in a traditional sense that you might do when you go to school or even to university, we're increasingly looking at new forms of learning that are absolutely essential to succeeding at new forms of work. And I think the bottom line here is that digital technologies are getting better at doing a lot of the work that humans have traditionally done. So the question that we focus on is how do we make sure that humans can stay ahead of technology and what does that look like for them in terms of work and things. So some of the projects we are working on, we're doing a research project with Siemens, which is a German engineering and technology company. And we're looking at how a recent bunch of graduates who are trained in industry 4.0 expertise, how their expertise is being adopted across the organization here in Melbourne. So it's kind of like a reverse situation. You know, most times when you join an organization, particularly if you're a young, you know, a graduate, you're expected to adapt to that organization. In this case, these are industry 4 experts that probably have the best expertise of anyone in Australia. Their mission, their expectation, their mandate is to be agents of change and to do what they can to change the organization that they're joining. So that's just one of the projects. Looking forward to talking a bit more.
Let's, I guess, understand how work is changing and also the speed of it being, I guess, changing itself. Like, why is it changing so rapidly?
It's a great question, Jeff. And I think that, you know, it's worth understanding what is driving the changes and then understanding the impact. You know, many people say that we're entering the fourth industrial revolution. The first one, you know, the first industrial revolution was driven by steam. And then about 100 years ago, along came electricity. And then 50 to 60 years ago, computing really started to take off. What distinguishes this revolution compared to the previous ones is twofold. One is the cyber physical systems. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying that the real and virtual worlds are starting to merge. And a great example is that in these cyber-physical systems, we have a real physical object, but we also have its digital twin. So we're able to use fancy algorithms to always improve performance or to change production and so forth. And that's really driving a lot of the changes. And of course, the supercharged development of AI, artificial intelligence, is helping drive that. But what does this mean in terms of us as humans and what we're seeing? Well, I like to say that the the way to think of the future of work is what I call the pie. Pie, so P for pace, I for interdependency, and E for evolving. And I think that the pace of change is occurring at a much faster pace than we have ever experienced previously. I'm sure most of your listeners will certainly be aware of that dimension of the future of work. You know, in terms of computing power, you know, the performance of silicon chips doubles every 2 years and comes down in price by two every couple of years. And that will continue for a little bit longer, but particularly it's going to be absolutely go to the next level once quantum computing sees the light of day. But the other is interdependency. You know, we're in a hyper-connected world. And what that means is that not only are we connected to everything and everyone, but we can't be disconnected. And that's a huge change in our mindsets in terms of our identity, in terms of our business models, but in terms of understanding that we can't be, you know, we have to consider everything around us. And the best part of that is that we need to leverage the networks that we're in. And of course, the third thing is E for evolving. Nothing is still, nothing is static, and things are constantly evolving in a non-linear sense. So there's no sort of linear progression as to where the future will head to, compared to where we are in the present. So the world of work is being profoundly impacted by those three dimensions. So the pace, the interdependencies, and always evolving.
And also it's how we create value with all these, I guess, you know, digital transformation pillars or the tools and the available technology that we have. We are creating value out of almost every data entry that we could get.
Yeah, that's precisely right. And the way that we're creating value is changing, you know, quite significantly. You know, work itself is being profoundly transformed by digital technologies. You know, most work in most organizations today in the developed world is routine and predictable tasks. And that is, you know, right across the board. But what that means is that if a task is routine and predictable, it can be codified, which means you can write an algorithm for it, which means that it's actually vulnerable to being displaced by technology. But what we're seeing is that technology has a twofold attack on the work that gets done in most organizations. One, it gets displaced directly. So as I mentioned before, everything, say, from work in call centers to even to cancer diagnosis. You know, Google's AI is better at diagnosing lung cancer than humans are. And so, in other words, it doesn't matter how routine or how sophisticated the task is. If it's routine and predictable, it's vulnerable to being displaced. But at the same time, there's a second impact of digital technologies on these task-based work, and that it's very good at reorganizing tasks to lower cost solutions. Just think of the gig and freelance economy. You know, for example, in pizza making, you still have a human making your pizza. They're just not in the pizza shop at the end of the street. Increasingly, they're going to be in a dark kitchen somewhere where, the work is being reorganized more efficiently to, you know, through these digital platforms to a lower cost labor solution somewhere else. And certainly on that last point, you know, here in Australia and probably similar in Malaysia, if you go on Uber Eats, 1 in 25 of the restaurants on Uber Eats actually do not exist. They're virtual kitchens. They're actually, restaurants and kitchens set up by Uber to take advantage of the data that they're collecting on everyone's likes and preferences and behaviors with respect to eating. So, you know, digital technologies are going to increasingly displace work and reorganize work. And that's a huge transformation and threat to the way that we've seen work done traditionally.
So the bigger question on everyone's mind at the moment is the fear of losing their jobs to, you know, to artificial intelligence. Will that ever happen? And to what extent is that a reality?
So I think that the key key thing here is that, as I mentioned before, work itself, so jobs, are increasingly being divided into very specific tasks, right? And that organizations do that in terms of ensuring there's efficiency and in terms of being able to reorganize those tasks in a coherent manner to produce stuff, right? But that those tasks themselves are becoming more vulnerable to technology. And so some jobs may have one or two of their, say, 10 or so tasks that might be vulnerable. Other jobs might have all of the tasks that are vulnerable to being displaced by technology. I did a little bit of research for our chat today, and Fathom, which is a software as a service company based in Sydney here in Australia, they do global predictions based on, they've got pretty good data on the impact of AI to workforces around the world. And I looked at Malaysia, and so it's they're predicting, based on what I think is probably the best numbers, 24% of jobs are going to be impacted by AI in the next 5 years in Malaysia. Their projections suggest that 14% of jobs in Malaysia are going to be automated, which means pretty much all of the tasks in those jobs are going to be done by technology, whereas another 10% of jobs in Malaysia in the next 5 years are going to be augmented by AI. What that means is that the job is going to be so significantly changed that for the worker to stay in their job, they need to significantly upskill and reskill. And, of course, that's a projection. Here's a really great example of what has happened. So here in Australia, the mining industry, as you might know, mining is a very huge component of the economy here in Australia. It is, you know, the biggest exporter that we have. And in 2013 and 14, we had the last mining boom, so a huge amount of exports out of the country. And now we're entering a new mining boom, so 5 years later. Do you know that up to 30% of the jobs that were available only 5 years ago no longer exist? AI and robotics and other type of technologies have taken over those jobs. So, you know, when we say that the even if in Malaysia 24% of jobs might not be impacted, let's say it's 12%, half of that, that's still a significant impact to the way work will be done in Malaysia in a very short period of time.
I'm speaking to Dr. Sean Gallagher, the director of Swinburne Centre for the New Workforce, and we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu and you're listening to Resource Centre. With me on the phone today talking about learning for the future of work is Dr. Sean Gallagher, the director of Swinburne Centre for the New Workforce. Dr. Sean, what exactly is the new workforce?
Well, I think that the new workforce is increasing. So that if you think of it, digital technologies are getting good at doing work that humans have done for 200 years, right? This is the first time, you know, I mentioned the, you know, steam power, electricity and computing, and all three of those sort of helped us out with manual work. You know, steam power, for example, helped us with weaving and you know, the textile industry, electricity with manufacturing and computing with much more intricate and detailed work. But what's happening with AI is that all of a sudden our cognitive ability at work is being challenged by technology. And that's the first time that we've ever been challenged. So in terms of the new work for humans, I actually think that we humans need to become more human at work, if that makes sense. Well, there's actually two dimensions. I think one is we need to do higher cognitive work, so much higher level, higher level technical skills and that, you know, critical analysis and decision making and so forth. But at the same time, becoming more human and, you know, using our what people call soft skills, which I call some social competencies, you know, empathy and collaboration and curiosity and, you know, those uniquely human skills that are actually really important for creating value. And I took a quick look before we jumped online to see, so what are the, you know, LinkedIn does a lot of work in terms of their ads, and what are the hottest new jobs that are emerging? And they break into two categories. There's the highly specialist technical or technology kind of roles, like AI specialist and data specialist, robotics engineer, cloud and cybersecurity engineers, et cetera. But there's also human-focused roles, so customer success specialist, sales development, product developer. So in those roles, it's really about understanding, having a much better understanding, using our uniquely human skills to better understand what value is and how we can create it for people. So there's kind of those two dimensions, and I think that that's, you know, those jobs and that type of work will ensure that we continue to stay ahead of technology for a while.
Some would say that, you know, it's inevitable that technology will seep into every industry vertical. It will be a pillar for their business, whether it's from agriculture to the banking sector to finance or to customer service. But they would argue that it's only a handful of people who have the knowledge with artificial intelligence and machine learning, and that it's not available or ready for everyone to adopt into it. What's that risk that it's only a handful of people who are able to, you know, understand this you know, explosion of artificial intelligence and machine learning?
I think it is a major concern that we need to, and it's both, I think it's on two levels. It's both on the supply side and also on the demand side. And so in terms of the supply side, yes, our vocational colleges, our universities, and even our high schools need to ensure that we have, you know, producing students that have greater capabilities in each of those technologies. But at the same time, they also need, we need to make sure that we haven't lost the ability, you know, to understand those, to focus on those soft skills. And so that's on the supply side. And on the demand side, it's, I think what you've said is very true. And there was a report put out by the Reserve Bank of Australia, which is the central bank here in Australia. And they looked at the uptake of technology, and they found that only the leading firms in industry were able to afford the technology to adopt it, whereas many other firms who weren't leading, they couldn't afford to adopt digital technology. So it suggests that there may be you know, a two-speed economy, you know, being seen here in Australia by the haves, those that can afford to have these technologies, and the have-nots, those that can't. And so this kind of both issues in terms of supply and also demand here in Australia. That even if, you know, and probably a lot of companies out there saying, oh, well, you know, those digital technologies are too expensive. You know, I'm just going to keep doing things in a traditional way. And probably for a few years, that's going to be okay. But very soon, all companies, all organizations, the entire economy will be digital, whether you like it or not. That's just the reality of the transformation that's occurring. And so a company may not necessarily need an AI specialist, but they need to have at least a higher level understanding of what these technologies can do. And I think that the key thing is understanding more about, well, how do we create value in those circumstances? And, you know, one of the expressions that I think is really helpful to understand here is that, you know, in certainly in Australia, I've spent a lot of time in Asia, and that's probably partly true there. We all love a new technology, you know, bright and shiny, and what does it do? And it's fantastic. And I think certainly here in Australia, we get a little bit too distracted by the technology and think, you know, what, you know, and we ask the question, what can we do with this technology? But I think increasingly the question is, what does this technology do? I think is the question that most people ask here. Whereas I think we need to flip to what can we do with the technology? In other words, how can we, you know, have a high level understanding of the technology, but how can we use it to create value in new businesses and ideas? That's, I think, the way we need to be heading with technology, but often we're distracted by the bright, shiny new thing and wanting to know what it does.
And finally, how are you preparing the graduates with the skills and tools that is needed for the future of work?
Well, the key thing here is that because things are moving so rapidly, you know, that pace, the interdependency, always evolving, that we have to remember that the workplace is where disruption is occurring, not the classroom. And the faster that disruption occurs, the less relevant learning purely in a classroom setting is going to be for preparing graduates for that future of work. And so what are the things that we've been working on with a few organizations, including my own university, Swinburne, is this concept of learning integrated work. So how do we take learning out of the classroom and immerse it into the workplaces where this disruption is occurring? You know, it's kind of like learning a foreign language, you know. I certainly wanted to learn French when I was younger, and I enrolled myself in, you know, adult education. And it was, you know, I certainly got a bit of an exposure to the language, and it was great. But it really wasn't until I moved to Montreal in Canada and immersed myself in, you know, French culture that I really began to learn the language. And it's exactly the same with these technologies. We need to immerse learning into those disruptive environments to ensure that they're not only being able to pass an exam, they're actually becoming fluent in understanding how those technologies work in the context in which those technologies are disrupting work.
And Dr. Sean, you'll be down here in Malaysia for an event in KL, Penang, and also in East Malaysia. Tell me a little bit about this.
The event, so Swinburne has it's a top 300 research institution globally. It has a major campus, several campuses here in Melbourne. It's got a campus in Sarawak and one in Sri Lanka and a few other places. The purpose for this is the first time that Swinburne in Malaysia has organized an event on this scale. And it's really focused on, you know, helping students and parents make decisions with respect to, you know, careers of the future in Malaysia. And we're going to be starting in KL on the 22nd, then at KK on the 23rd, Kuching, Cebu, Miri, and finally finishing in Penang on the 29th. So it's going to be a bit of a whirlwind tour, and I'm really, really looking forward to, you know, having some great Malaysian food and seeing some beautiful parts of the countryside while I'm there. But the key thing is that it's about, you know, who makes the key decision in terms of what students do at university? It's the parents. And most parents only know work from the work that they've done. And so the purpose of this tour is to help them understand and appreciate that work of the future looks less and less like work of the past. And so it's to help them understand and appreciate new forms of work and to not, you know, to provide them with a little bit of a background to recognize that most of their kids are not going to end up in, you know, 9-to-5, Monday to Friday jobs and work for the same company for 30 years. That's not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. They're increasingly going to have, you know, a portfolio of work opportunities, and sometimes working for two or three different employers at once. You know, work is changing rapidly, and that's part of what I'm hoping to, you know, it's part of the message that I want to tell and also to convey that to parents and to, you know, prospective students, the future of work is not so scary. There's a lot of exciting things coming down the pipe.
Plenty to look forward to, Dr. Sean. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
And that was Dr. Sean Gallagher, the director of Swinburne Centre for the New Workforce, talking about learning for the future of work. If you'd like to know more, check out swinburne.edu.my for event details. My name is Jeff Sandu, and you've been listening to Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.